Thank you, Brother Brian. Appreciate him sharing. I enjoyed that story of that song. That's really a powerful story. Sometimes we sing the hymn songs, but as you'll see, a lot of the songs that we sing in the church were birthed out of a lot of pretty powerful situations in people's lives, and love those stories. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 John chapter 2, the book of 1 John chapter 2. We are continuing our study of this great book. It's a tremendous book because really it does a couple of things. We're keeping it in the theme of the book as God wants you to know. God wants us to know some things. And really what this book does is if we really take it all in, it provides assurance. That's one of the main reasons, to provide assurance into the life of a child of God's heart. And we've talked about how John is, in the very first chapter, first several verses, he's writing that to promote joy in our life. My niece reached out to me last night. She says, "Uncle Tracy," she said, "I don't pray for me." She said, I just feel like I've lost my joy. And I encouraged her. I said, "Hon," I said, "you read 1 John." I said, "because that will help you. Read the book of Philippians. It will help you." And so John writes and he speaks into that. So we've talked about that. He's also written, he's spoken so far into preventing sin in the life of a believer. Those that know Jesus Christ, your Savior, does not mean you won't ever sin again. It just means you've been forgiven, yes. But when we do sin, we can take it to God and he will forgive us of it. And I think sometimes we fail to understand how powerful that is. And we fail to understand that when we go to God, as we'll see in a moment in prayer, when we go to God and as his child and we ask for his forgiveness and we ask for him to restore us back to fellowship, he does that. But often what happens is we don't allow it to happen in our mind. We don't allow it to happen to our heart. And it stifles our growth. It stunts our growth. It hinders our walk. But if Jesus Christ, on many occasions when people have come forward in this church and they've said to me, "Pastor, I've done this," and I've asked, "Hey, have you asked Jesus to forgive you?" "Yes, I've asked Jesus to forgive me." Without a doubt, a lot of people will say, "I just cannot forgive myself." And I've said to them, and I've spoken in the hearts of, into the lives of many people at this altar, I said, "Listen, if Jesus Christ has forgiven you, you do not have the right not to forgive yourself." Amen? God will forgive, and God will restore. Now, we learn from mistakes, yes, and we strive to hopefully not do those mistakes again, but we have a God that forgives us. We come now in chapter 2 in verses 12 through 14. And what John really does, he just describes for us what it's like to grow up in God's family. If you've now been born again, you're in the family of God when the Lord saves you. He places you in his family. It's not an accident. It's really not an accident why God, when he saves us, he puts us in his family. And the reason he puts us in his family is because that is where growth can happen, and that's where proper growth can take place. And we'll talk about the local church as well tonight. But here, 1 John chapter 2, please stand on in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll focus on verses 12 through 14. In verse 12 of 1 John chapter 2, John is basically describing for us what it means to be a babe in Christ. He says in verse 12, he says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." So he uses it, he says little children in verse 12. He says little children in verse 13. He talks about fathers. He talks about young men. So I hope as you read this, you kind of see a progression, right? He's given us a progression of growth. He's given us, hey, you start out as a babe in Christ. We then should grow in our walk with Jesus into our youth, right? Into just like growing up, right? As a human being, start out as a baby. You don't stay a baby. You grow up. Dave and I was just talking about this, how our kids grow up so fast right before our very eyes, and it almost happens, and we don't even realize that it's happening, and yet they grow up. And so Jesus, through John, says, you start out as a babe in Christ, you come into your youth, then you should mature in your walk with God into being a father. And we'll talk about what that means in just a moment. It's representative of maturity in Christ. That's what he's talking about, and he's using the family unit, if you will, to kind of bring those thoughts out. He says in verse 14, he says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, here it is again, because you are strong. Notice three things. He says three things, and we'll get to these in a minute. He says, I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, number one, and the word of God abideth in you, number two, and ye have overcome the wicked one, number three. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on your word tonight. We pray to your Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us, direct us, Lord, as we speak tonight. And we'll praise you, God. We pray that you'll allow your principles of your word to just settle in our heart so that we could live closer to you and we could grow in our relationship with you. And Father, we ask your blessings on us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Growing up in God's family. We talked about, and I'm going to give you some more thoughts on this, the baby. So we see in verse 12, we see the birth of a baby. You know, when you get saved, and when a person gets born again, that literally is what happens. You become a baby in Christ. That you say, wow, I didn't know I'm a baby. Well, Jesus, when we're saved, when we repent, you say, what does that mean, preacher, when we're saved? What does it mean to be born again? Well, here's what it means. Now, let me say it first of all by saying what it is not. Being born again does not mean you're going to heaven because you got baptized. That's not being born again. Being born again doesn't mean that you're going to heaven because you've lived a good life. No, being born again literally means that. It means you've been born, according to John chapter 3, you've been born from above. So how does this happen? I was talking to a lady this morning in the funeral, and she said something. She said something to me. I'd never met her, and she was talking to one of the family members, and we're standing out there in the vestibule before the service started. And she said to me and introduced and we all serve the same God, don't we, preacher? And I'll be honest, a lot of times when people say statements, sometimes I just try to smile and wave, you know, but I felt like I needed to speak into that one. I said, well, ma'am, I said, we do if we're born again. I said, if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we serve the same, we have the same God. And I said, we are all God's creation. Yes, that is a universal statement. Because you're a human being on the face of the planet, we are all God's creation. But you are not a child of God unless you've been born again. You have to have Jesus as your Savior. And that only, and I emphasize the word only, that only takes place if you have acknowledged that you're a sinner before God and you've asked God to forgive you of your sin and you've placed your faith and trust. Please press in and hear this, or watch the internet and hear this. You've placed your faith and trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. And you've trusted him, not yourself, not your baptisms, not your ceremonial creeds, not your this or that or this. You've trusted Jesus and Jesus alone as your Savior, and he saves you. That is the new birth. That's what it means to be born again. Now, I'll be honest. Before I got saved, I used to think that was too simple. I promise you I did. I used to say things like, that's too easy. You mean all I have to do to go to heaven when I die is ask God to forgive me of my sin and place my faith and trust in Jesus and his death and resurrection? That's all I have to do? Yes, that's all you have to do. But here's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants us to think that we have to earn it. The devil wants us to think that we've got to do something good in order to merit God's salvation. But you got to understand something, and on the authority of the Word of God, I make this statement. You and I cannot muster up enough goodness to gain God's favor. The only way that you could have the favor of God in your life is for you to be cleansed of your sin, and that takes place when you've asked God to forgive you and you place your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to save you.
So we see this new birth. We see this birth of a baby. It's literally an infant. You know, we've got, man, it's awesome right now as a pastor here because we have ladies having babies like crazy, and it's great. And so Dave and Tina. But anyway, sorry, I'm going to leave that. Adopt, you need to adopt another baby. But anyway, that was prophetic. They're like, preacher, we quit. We're done with this church. Erica, wouldn't you like to see them adopt another baby? See, I'm just saying. Dave's like, preacher, I would have to be in an insane asylum. Well, you can move in with us because it's an insane asylum next door. We have teenagers. But no, but infants, these babies and ladies are having babies. It's such a blessing. It's such a joy as a church when new blood comes in, these babies comes in, they take over the nursery and then they grow up. And before you know it, they're in the toddler class and you blink your eye and then they've moved up into the the elementary ages, and then you blink again, and they're in middle school and high school, and they're growing up. I told Dave, I said, I can't believe one of my kids, I said, is graduating this year. He's a senior this year. It's mind-boggling to me because when we came here 14 years ago, he was only 4 years old, and it's just unbelievable to me. But the point is, you know, you don't stay a baby. You know, God does. And now, on a spiritual standpoint, When God saves you, it's not God's will for you to stay a baby. He wants to grow you. He wants to mature you in your walk with God, mature you in your faith. Tina, Dave, please forgive me for saying that. I still love you. You still love me? Grunt, Dave, if you still love your preacher, they still love their preacher. But Erica did say she would love. But anyway, the birth of a baby. So how do you grow? What does it take to grow? Now, interestingly enough, we told you last week that there's really, in Scripture, there's basically two types of babies, spiritual babies. There's two types of spiritual babies. There are those that are infants that have just gotten saved, but then there's also sometimes, and Paul talked about this to the Corinthian church, Peter talked about it, there are those that are babies who are, maybe they've been saved for a long, long time, but they've never matured in their walk with God. They've never matured in their faith. They've never grown. They've never, you know, I say, preacher, why does that happen? Well, because the reason it happens, and I'll show you how to prevent it, is because maybe they've just never studied the Bible, or maybe they've never gotten in a church where they could become accountable and grow along other believers in the Lord and be taught and set under the preaching and the teaching of the Bible. I said to you, and I've said this for years to you, that if we give 1 hour a week to Emmanuel, please come to the Sunday school class. Go to Sunday school because you're going to learn the Bible in the Sunday school setting. You're going to be around people your age and maybe your demographic, and you're going to build relationships, and it's going to help in your growth with the Lord. So there's the infant, but then there's also the immature. So how do you grow? What are some thoughts? And I wrote down some new things tonight that kind of added to this as far as ways a person can grow. And we're going to talk about that. Well, we would have. Yeah, here we go. I thought I left it on my desk. So we gave you this last week. 1 Peter 2:2 talks about the milk of God's word. Paul told the church at Corinth that he talked about the milk of God's word. He wanted to feed them meat, which is the more mature doctrines in the Bible for those that have kind of grown up a little bit in the Lord as far as in their knowledge of God. But this aspect of the baby, what does it take to grow? Now, if you look at it from a perspective of even just a real baby, right? A human being that's just gotten born, little Levi. What was kind of cool, Tina, as I told, I was telling Brother Steve Wiggins, I said, well, Levi may be a deacon one day. And the reason he may be a deacon one day is because he was born on her dad, Joe Creek, and Tommy Knoll's birthday. See, Steve Wiggins was born they were born on the 14th. Steve Wiggin was born on the 15th. I told Brother Steve, I said, if you'd have been born on the 14th, we could have made you a deacon. I said, but you were born on the 15th. And on the 15th, trustees are born on the 15th. But Levi, I'm just kidding, of course. But Levi, you know, he's born on the 14th. But you say, Pastor, what's your point? The point is, but babies, in order for them to grow, they have to have nourishment. They have to have food, right? They have to have food. Same way spiritually. Let me make a statement to you, and I know you know this. This isn't new. You will not grow if you don't read the Bible. You won't grow. You say, preacher, I know more about the Bible than you ever have known about it. Woohoo! You put a star in your chart. I'm glad for you. But the point is, it's not about getting a head knowledge of the Bible. You know, I mean, think about it from a baby's perspective. A baby, when it eats milk, or, you know, maybe from the breast of its mother, or maybe they use formula, regardless. But when it eats that milk, it doesn't eat that milk just to fill its stomach full. That's not why it does it. When it eats it, it has to have the appetite. So when it eats it, it then, what does it do? It turns in the nutrients and it goes throughout its entire body. That's the same way God does with his word. Talked about how the milk of God's word, that you may grow thereby. You will not grow without the Bible in your life. You will not grow without the Bible being part. It needs to be a part of your daily life. We should get the Bible in us on a daily basis. I was just talking to someone recently, and I just recently, and I said to them, I said, you know, listen, I love, if you can read 4 or 5 chapters a day, that's fantastic. It's wonderful if you can do that. But if all you can get in the Bible, you know, if all you could get in you is maybe a verse or a few verses in that day, I said, meditate on them, chew on them throughout that day. Get a principle that you're learning, a biblical principle, and just chew on that, meditate on that. That's a biblical principle. Psalm 1 talked about the blessed man that he meditates day and night. What does that mean? The word meditate means to ponder. Here's what the meaning of it is. It means to ponder by talking to yourself. So all of us that talk to ourselves, we're the normal ones. People that don't talk to themselves, you're not normal. I had a friend of mine was asked one time, because he used to talk to himself all the time. And somebody said to him, said, you talk to yourself. He said, yeah. They said, do you answer yourself too? Very sarcastically. They said, do you answer yourself too? He said, well, it's kind of rude not to, don't you think? When you're talking to somebody. But it means to ponder by talking to oneself, talking to yourself. So get a principle in God's word. I heard this. This is a tremendous thing. And I just shared this with somebody recently. And I think it was Johnny Hunt who made the statement. Maybe areas of your life as a believer, areas of your life that you're struggling in. Now, if you're anything like me, you may, the Christian life is, it's amazing. But here's what I find often in my life. When I first got saved, I had things that I struggled with. Music was a big struggle for, you know my testimony. Music was a big struggle for me when I first got saved. And I say this not, and God is my witness on this, I say this not bragging, but music isn't necessarily a struggle so much for me anymore. But here's what it is. Other things. So the Christian life, just because you get maybe one thing kind of licked, not licked, that's probably not a good word, maybe one thing that you've grown a little bit, you matured a little bit in your walk with God, and those things aren't a struggle, you'll find that the devil then will bring something else totally out of the ordinary. I mean, you know my story with anger, little anger issues that I had. And man, I've asked God to help me and forgive me, and I have, and I know the Lord has done that. I'm grateful for that. I even said to a friend of mine who's a teacher at the school, I said, I've never, I'm not saying it'd be arrogant, I said, but I've never struggled with anger in my life. I mean, I really haven't. As far as that is concerned, well, let me rephrase that. I do on 696 and 94 when you're driving, because people are crazy. But anyway, I've never really struggled with that. But man, in the last couple months, but God, I really think the Lord has really helped me. And so what's my point of that? But here's the thing I was going to tell you that Johnny Hunt said, and this is truth. This is a good word. He said, whenever you come in your life, if you have things that creep into your life that are hindering you, he said, here's what he suggests. I think he learned it from maybe Boyd Bailey, but one of them. But he said, for example, if I'm struggling with anger, here's what they say to do. Find all the Bible verses that deal with anger in Scripture and start memorizing them. Start memorizing verses that deal with anger, and that's going to help you. It's going to help our walk with God. It's going to mature us. You know, I mean, if I don't know what happens to the human body when you go over 40, but bad things happen. I'm just telling you, bad things happen. Things change. And I said to my wife the other day, I'm 44, and I said to my wife the other day, I said, I just don't get it. I said, almost overnight, you know, when we talk about little things, he said, well, you got to do this, got to get this in your diet. And I'm like, diet, that's die with a T on the end. That's what all diet is. That's what I think. But anyway, she said, you got to get this other nutrients in your diet. You got to get some of this and get some of this. And you got to start taking vitamins. I'm like, oh, man. But you got to get this in you because you need the nourishment. You need the nutrients Because you don't always get in the food that we eat, especially if you eat in some of the places I eat. But anyway, you gotta switch things up a little bit. So the same is in the Christian life. The Bible is will be something that you've got to get into. You've got to read it. I had a young couple in our church that reached out to me the other day. I said, Pastor, hope I'm not bothering you. Text me. Hope I'm not bothering you. He said, but my wife and I are really being challenged. This was Sunday night or Monday. He said, my wife and I now are challenged. Rather than at night, sitting in front of a TV for an hour, we want to read the Bible together for an hour. I was like, wow, praise God. And I was encouraging him and just giving him some thoughts on that. And, and he said, preacher, I'll probably be bombarding your phone. And I said, that's okay. We welcome that, but you got to get the Bible in you. Get it in you. For those who say, yeah, but pastor, I'm just not much of a reader. Well, quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. And you say, preacher, whoa, that's kind of a strong word. No. Quit making excuses. If I only done the things in my life that I enjoyed, if that's all I ever did was just do the things that I enjoyed, that's really not healthy. There are times that you've got to discipline yourself. You've got to stretch. You've got to allow yourself to be stretched. And you got to get the Bible in you. You've got to get it in you. If you get anything out of this tonight, you've got to get the Bible in you. And if you're not getting it in you, you're malnourished and you are susceptible to disease and sickness. You got to get it in you. Here's another thing, prayer. How do you grow? We're going to cover the baby tonight. I thought we'd get further than this. How do you grow? Prayer. So the appetite, the appetite's food that you need is the Bible. How do we go? 1 Peter 2:2. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We've already read this, but we're talking about prayer. How do you grow as a Christian? Prayer helps you grow. In verse 9 of 1 John 1, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. We've already covered this. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's in the subject, it's in the topic, really, of prayer. We confess it to whom? Jesus, to the Lord, to the Father. We talk to him, we pray. You say, Pastor, I just don't know what to pray. You're right, you're right. When you first get saved, the verse I gave you last week out of Romans, I think it's chapter 8, verse 15. Yeah, Romans 8, 15 talks about, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of adoption. And then it says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy is what that means. When a baby is first born, and as it begins to grow in a few days, it turns into weeks and months, what does that baby eventually do? Well, it starts cooing, right? That's a coo. It starts cooing, making noises. Starts forming the sounds that it emulates, that it hears sounds that you say, dada, mama, and all that. And a baby will eventually... You say, preacher, what's your point? When a baby is born, it doesn't have a whole lot of words. It's the same way spiritually. When you first get saved, when we first got saved, you and I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. All I could have told you was that Jesus saved me, and if he saved me, I knew he would save my buddies, and I would witness to him. I told them the message that Jesus died, was buried, that he rose again the third day. And if they would repent, if they would trust Christ, he would save them. I remember Jamie Gentry, one of my best childhood buddies, who's now a preacher, going to the Middle East as a missionary. God's this amazing testimony, amazing story. But Jamie said to me, right that day, the first ones I witnessed to was Jamie, Christian, and my buddy Jack, childhood buddies. I'm 16 years old. They're younger than I am. I'll never forget it. They're sitting there. They've leaned up against the shed there, the red shed at Terry and Patty Nichols' home. And I witnessed to them there on the basketball court. And Jamie said to me, when I said to him, I said, you got to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Jamie said, Tracy, I've never done anything wrong. He said, I promise you, what he said. He said, I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen anything. And I said, yeah, but you've sinned. You may have not have done those, but you've sinned. And if I remember correctly, when he said that, I was kind of shocked. I was kind of shocked that he said that because I didn't know. I didn't have all the answers. But the point is, but as that baby, let's go back to the real baby now. As that baby begins to grow They start saying words, don't they? Dada, mama. They start saying different words. Their words start building up, and they have a lot more words they can say. It's the same way spiritually. It's the same way spiritually. When you first get saved, you don't have all the words. I'm not saying we have all the words now, but the point is, you don't know all the words. You don't know all the great doctrines of the Bible, like justification, sanctification, glorification, the doctrine of salvation. You don't know all of those things. But as you get in the Bible and the Bible gets into you, you then begin to pray and you begin to talk to the Lord. How do you grow? Prayer, Bible reading, witnessing, start telling your story. There's a story in the book of John chapter 9. And we're not going to turn there, but you can write the reference down. In John chapter 9, what takes place is Jesus has healed a blind man of his blindness. And the Jews, the Pharisees, they are all upset. Insomuch that they've said that if the parents don't call Jesus a sinner, basically, if they don't say that, there's sin involved somewhere, they're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. It says that right in chapter 9. So then they bring the man that has been healed, the blind man that has been healed of his blindness. They bring him back in, and they simply ask, hey, tell us what happened. Tell us if he's a sinner or not. And this is what the blind man's response, I love it. The blind man's response is this, John chapter 9, you read it for yourself. The blind man says, listen, all I know, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But here's what I do know. I was blind, but now I see. That's it. He told them what happened to him. And that's what, in the context of witnessing, you'll be surprised. You'll be so surprised what God can do with your life if you just start telling people what Jesus did for you. My cousin, Doug Goad, years ago, now he's since, man, he's become a pretty good soul winner. Years and years and years ago, he said to me, we were talking about witnessing, and I said to him, I said, Doug, we need to witness. He goes, Tracy, I'll be honest. He said, I don't know what to tell people. He said, I don't know what to tell people. I said, Doug, just simply tell them what Jesus has done in your life. That is what we often refer to as your testimony. You say, preacher, I don't have all the answers. Listen, none of us have all the answers. But I promise you this, if you're born again, you have the answer, right? You have the answer. And the God that changed your life is the God that can change your friends' lives. He's the God that can change your family members' lives. He's the God that absolutely would love to save people that you care about. So tell them. Tell them about Jesus. We grow. You say, preacher, how does that help you grow? Well, the more you begin to talk about it, same with a baby, the more they talk, they want to talk more and talk more and talk more. Why? Because they're growing. They're increasing their increasing their knowledge. They're increasing their, enunciating their words and all of that. And you say, preacher, you missed that part of your life. Anyway, witnessing, it'll help you grow. Here's another one. Go to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to end with this one. Acts chapter 2. The last one we're going to talk about is the local church. How do you grow? Get yourself plugged in to a local church. That's how you grow. I promise you that's how you grow. And I know there are those, and I've heard people for years. I've been a Christian for a while, and I've heard a lot of things come down the pike. And I've heard people say things like, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a church member. You don't have to go to church. They'll say this. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You're absolutely right, sir. You're absolutely right, ma'am. But biblically, to be a good one, you do. Christian. To be a good one, you do. Say, preach, that's, no. Biblical, on the authority of the Word of God. When people got saved, the natural progression, they get saved, then they get baptized. That's a natural progression. You get born again, you get baptized, you become part of that local New Testament church, you grow and you serve through that local church. So Acts chapter 2, the context is this. It's the day of Pentecost. God has miraculously showed up on that day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1, he told that church of Jerusalem, there were about 120 members, roughly 120 members. It says that in Acts chapter 1. In the chapter 2, Jesus tells them in chapter 1 to wait, you know, for the Holy Spirit's going to come upon them. He's going to empower them. Now, there are those that believe in Acts chapter 2 that that's the birthday of the church. It's not the birthday. It's the empowerment of the church. So in chapter 2 of Acts, you have the Holy Spirit of God comes upon them. Man, Peter preaches a message, and God uses the message of the gospel. It's literally the gospel message of chapter 2. He preaches the gospel message, and look at starting in around verse 41. Let's now look at what happens as a result of him preaching that glorious message of the gospel. The Bible says in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." They got saved. They got baptized. And notice the text. "And the same day they were added unto them." The "them," if you study this correctly, the "them" is a reference to the about 120 names of the church at Jerusalem in chapter 1. So that day of Pentecost, now I know this would be a struggle for some. This could be a struggle for some, because you would lose your pew probably if this were to occur. But the Bible says the same day there were added unto them, that 120 member church, roughly about 3,000 souls. Wow! Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine going from a church in one service, 120 roughly, give or take, to 3,120 in one service? You say, "I don't know, I'm not into big churches." Well, here's what I hold to and I believe. Let's not worry about how big the church gets. Let's let God do that, right? Let's just let the Lord do that, and let the Lord have his way in that. He'll save, and we just be obedient and baptize them and teaching them. Verse 42, and let's continue on. So here's how you grow. You want to grow? You want to mature in your walk with God? First of all, get born again. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Why wait? Do it now, right? Trust Christ. You watch the internet in this room. Trust the Lord as your Savior. He'll save you. He'll change your life. You gladly receive his word. Then you submit to baptism. You get baptized. And then verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly." The word "continued" is a good word. Continue. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. You need to continue. I talk about Sunday, you know, so many times we live our lives by the Hail Mary, right? The Hail Mary pass in football. You know, it comes down to the end of the game, and man, the team is, they've messed up throughout the whole game. But they're going to try to redeem all the bad mistakes. They're going to try to redeem it in one play. Sometimes they're successful. Actually, in a college realm, in a studying over 7,000 games, they're successful scoring a touchdown with a Hail Mary pass 2.5% of the time in studies. But you see, in the context of life, so many times I have family members that'll message me on Facebook, and they're like, "Hey, you know, give me a verse of scripture. Hey, give me this. I'm struggling this. And on a regular basis, I'll say to them, "Hey, did you go to church today? Hey, are you in church right now?" "Well, I'm not going to church right now." Hear my heart. Please hear my heart. If you don't get in a church, you will struggle. Now, just because you're part of a church, it doesn't mean you won't struggle. But the good news is, if you do struggle, you'll have brothers and sisters in Christ that can come alongside of you and help you and ease your burden. Look at the text. We'll finish this out. Verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Ooh, doctrine. People say, "I'm not interested in doctrine." Well, you really don't know what you're saying. All the word doctrine is in the Bible, it's teachings. It's the teaching. "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Can you see this? Now again, this is 3,000 babies. 3,000 new babies. They're curious. The Bible says they continue steadfastly apostles' doctrine, verse 42, and fellowship. That's important. Fellowship is important. The word fellowship means to have in common. The local New Testament church, a part of a local New Testament church, we have a lot of things in common. We may not be from the same part of the country, right? Some are from the north, some are from the south, some are from different countries that have been a part of our congregation. But the point is, we have in common the fact that Jesus Christ has forgiven us of our sins, He's saved us, He's changed our life, we've submitted to baptism, or maybe we've joined from another church like Faith and Order by letter or statement, and we've become part of a local New Testament church body. We are to continue in the doctrine, the teachings of it, the fellowship of it. Look at the rest of it. In prayers, verse 42, here's what I believe happened. Those new Christians, they begin to watch, and we'll talk about this next Wednesday night. They begin to emulate. They begin to watch the 120 members. They begin to watch their lives. They begin to hear them pray. They begin to hear them pray and maybe hear them talk about the Word of God, talk about the Bible. Verse 44, verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. And had all things common. Look what else it did. This is tremendous. And sold their possessions, verse 45, and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Contextually, because people were trusting Christ their Savior, many of these Jewish people were trusting Jesus as their Savior. They now were being ostracized from the synagogue, yes, but many of them were losing their jobs because some had jobs that were tied to the temple. So they were losing their jobs. So the local church, here these new Christians are. Can you imagine? Let's just try to flesh it out in our mind. Can you imagine being one of the 120 and all of a sudden you see in one service, 3,000 people are added? 3,000 babies. Man, that's a big nursery, spiritual nursery. What are you going to do with them? You got to teach them. They've been baptized. What a glorious baptismal service that must have been. They had needs. Verse 46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When it says such as should, it literally means were being. The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. What a powerful message. What a powerful lesson. You want to grow in your walk with God? You want to mature in your walk with God? Get saved. I mean, first and foremost, you got to get born again. Start reading the Bible. I mean, as far as in order, once you get saved, submit to baptism, become part of a local church, get in a church, let God begin to grow you, bloom where you're planted, right? Start growing, start reading the Bible, start allowing yourself to be taught the Bible, stay teachable, prayer, witnessing. You have to have a good atmosphere. You know, baby, when a baby's born, you don't take that baby and just put it out in the back. You don't put it in the garage, right? You don't bring a baby home and shove it in the garage. No, you bring it in and you bring it in an atmosphere of love. You bring it in for a baby to really grow and thrive. It needs attachment. Psychologically, it needs attachment. We know that. But the point is, you bring it into an atmosphere, and this is a good illustration of a local church. An atmosphere for a baby to thrive and grow and mature, it will be an atmosphere of love. It will be an atmosphere of warmth. It will be an atmosphere of security. That's the way a local church should be. It should be an atmosphere of love. It should be an atmosphere of warmth. It should be an atmosphere of security where you can attach yourself to other brothers and sisters in Christ that may be a little further down the line than you are right now, but you can watch their life and emulate their life and grow. And and here's what happens, and I promise you here's what's going to happen. Years will fly by. They will fly by, and you'll look back over your life. Like I said to Dave McShepsky earlier tonight, I said, it's hard to believe that my son Cameron now is graduating. It's hard to believe he's a senior in high school. 14 years have gone by in a blink of an eye since we came here to Emmanuel. That's physically, but you know what? That's my son. The same would be said of you. You come in, you surrender yourself to God's Word, start reading it, be obedient to the Word of God, and just simply be obedient as God reveals truth in your life and in your heart. Be obedient to that. God continues to reveal truth. Be obedient to that. God continues to reveal truth as you seek Him out. Be obedient to that. It comes, the Bible says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It was that daily grind, that daily act of obedience. Not the Hail Mary pass. No, it was continue. It was a continuation. Let me tell you what that means. It means to continue in the good times when you're on the mountaintop spiritually, but let me tell you what else it means. It means to continue when you don't feel so spiritual. It means to continue when you're ready to quit. It means to continue when you're ready to quit on church because you don't feel like you used to feel. The danger of a Christian life, that don't be very careful about building your life on feelings. You won't last. There are times I don't feel, just being transparent, there are times I don't feel like coming to church. Tonight was one of those nights. Had that laser surgery yesterday. Now I see two people when I look at you. Double vision. Sounds like an old 80s song, actually. Well, you don't feel like it. But you go because you need it. You go because it's necessary. I don't feel like getting a yearly physical at my doctor's office, but I have to do that because it's necessary. Totally prevent things. Same way with your life as a believer. Let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Brian's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has touched your heart, you respond. Maybe you watch the internet. Hey, you say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I don't have a church home. Hey, we'd love to have you come. Come be a part. Our doors are wide open. We would love you. We'll welcome you. We'll open with open arms. We'll love you and hopefully help you to mature in your walk with Jesus. Whatever God's touched your heart about, you come as we're saying. What's your name, Brother Brian?